Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are theater geeks.
Hello, welcome to Theater Geeks, a podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We have a special guest with us today. It is Anne Swerdfeger, who is the publicity director for the Stratford Festival in Stratford, Ontario, Canada. Welcome to Theater Geeks, Anne.
Nice to be with you.
And you must have perhaps one of the best jobs in the world up there working for that wonderful festival and helping to promote it. But you've got a long association with the festival. And so can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Sure. It is absolutely one of the best jobs. I know that one of my favorite critics from London, England, has said that he thinks that Stratford is heaven for theater people. Mm-hmm. So he hopes this is where he's going when he dies.
Oh, God.
But it is it's a terrific city. It's a beautiful town. It's a beautiful theater. It's a great place to work. And it's actually where I was raised. My father came to be in the very first acting company. He was hired by Tyrone Guthrie in 1953. Wow. So I am here because of the, I actually exist, not here in Stratford, but I exist because of the Stratford Festival.
Oh my goodness.
And he worked his way up through the ranks after several seasons acting. He began to be a theater and company manager and then ended up as the executive director of the festival. So I actually grew up in these halls. This was my first visit as a little baby wrapped in pink.
Mm-hmm.
And I started seeing shows when I was 4 years old. So I have, I'm now considered a large part of the institutional memory of this place. I do know the people. We have a beautiful photo exhibit from created by one of our stage managers who's been here for 30 seasons
mm-hmm.
This year in our archives. And I went through and there are dozens and dozens and dozens of photos and not a single person I didn't know. So I guess I do carry that, that history with me.
I have to ask you,
great childhood.
What season is it this year?
Yeah.
Is our 62nd. And yes, Marcia, it was a great childhood. Oh. When Douglas Campbell, one of our, I'm sure he, right. many remember him, one of our stalwart actors who died a few years back, at his memorial service here at the festival, one of his sons read a letter from another son who was in England. And the letter said, those of us who grew up here, life since has never really measured up. And it's, mm-hmm. It's a sad,
wow.
It's not that sad a commentary, but it more an expression of the thrilling life that we had as children here. It was beyond measure. We had the opportunity to meet so many incredible people. Our parents' friends were performers, and we of course grew up watching all of these shows. Michael Langham, who was our second artistic director, died a few years ago too, at the mm-hmm. age of 92.
Wow.
And his son Chris was here.
So people in theater live longer.
I hope so. They have to, because they have to keep paying for their, they have to keep working to pay for their lives.
There you go.
But Chris said that he remembered my dad. My dad was the one that the kids would all go to after school or after supper, I guess it would be, or on a Saturday afternoon. And they'd whisper in my dad's ear that they wanted to see the show. And my dad would always let them in to sit on the steps. And I too remember sitting on the steps. But what he didn't remember was Chris said that, when Dad would open the door just before curtain and slip the kids in there, he would say to them, soak it up, soak it up. And
yeah.
We really all did soak it up. I've seen all of Shakespeare's plays and a good deal, many others, but it was funny enough, I hadn't seen a musical until I was a teenager on the stage.
Yeah.
Okay, we have you beat there.
Yeah.
It
always is amazes me that there is this town out in the middle of what is essentially Canadian prairie there, and that is a totally different animal than anything around it. It's like in the middle of no place in some respects. And why did it get planted there?
Well, the festival, they always say it's in the cornfields of Ontario, but Stratford was long before the festival known as the Classic City.
Mm-hmm.
We had our schools let's go right back to the beginnings. In 1846, the city was founded. It was on something called the Huron Track. So the surveyors from Britain were going through and dividing up territory and mm-hmm. creating towns and whatnot. And they needed places to stay. So Freifogel Inn was built down the road towards just past Shakespeare, and this place, a hotel was built here in Stratford, which was established as a larger center called Little Thames because it was on the what was called the Thames River. And one of the surveyors gave the inn owner a painting of Shakespeare, and that was hung over the bar. And it was from that photo, that painting, that all of the Shakespearean roots started to happen.
Oh my goodness.
So the name Little Thames was changed to Stratford. The River Thames was switched to Avon, and we say Avon, not Avon here. And then the schools were named. I went to Falstaff and King Lear. There's also Shakespeare, Anne Hathaway, Romeo, Juliet, and Avon. So all of the schools had Shakespearean names. Many of the streets do as well. Hamlet, there's another school. So the Shakespearean roots were here in the city from the very beginning. And Stratford was quite a bustling mini metropolis, because it was the center for the repair yards, the CN, the Canadian National Railway, and four other railway repair yards. And it was also a center for furniture repair.
Mm-hmm.
So when trains switched from steam to diesel, the repair yards started to close. And so a large chunk of our industry was disappearing. And a local fellow, Tom Patterson, decided he should come up with a way to save the town. And his idea was to start the Shakespeare Festival.
Wow.
And he went out into the world. He went to New York, and he did some research, and he found that Tyrone Guthrie was the man to ask to be in charge, and it all happened from there. Guthrie came from England on the guarantee that he would be allowed to design his own stage. He had been doing some experimental work. The thrust stage, which we have now, is relatively new. Ours was a revolution in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
They had existed in Shakespeare's time, variations on them, and of course the Greek amphitheaters had existed. But after the Puritans shut down the theaters, proscenium arches became the norm in theater. So he wanted to work on something closer to what Shakespeare had done. There was no opportunity for him to do that in England or anywhere else in the world. So he was given the opportunity to design a stage here. He brought Tanya Mozeevich, and the two of them created this amazing open stage or thrust stage, inspiring dozens more around the world at Lincoln Center in New York, at the Chichester Theater in the UK. Anywhere you see a thrust stage,
okay,
is inspired by ours.
Is that the Festival Theater, designed?
Yes, that's the Festival Theater.
Because I remember the Patterson Theater also is a very, very, very long thrust.
Yes, it's an elongated thrust at the Patterson, designed redesigned by John Penwaye,
mm-hmm.
and we have a thrust also in the Studio Theater, our smallest space, and we do have one proscenium arch, the Avon, which was opened in the early 1960s. It had been a vaudeville house, but it was purchased by the festival and became a spot for opera and music in the early days, and now is one of our major stages. We do a musical there every year, as well as other theater.
Well, that's the one thing that people, maybe some people don't realize, is that, yes, it's the Stratford Shakespeare Festival, or it's referred to that way, but it isn't all Shakespeare. It's certainly one of the best venues for Shakespeare in North America, but there is other stuff.
Absolutely. In fact, you couldn't be solely Shakespeare unless you were the size that we were in 1953-54, where
right.
we put on two or three plays. And in fact, it was 1954 when non-Shakespeare was added, the very second season.
Mm-hmm.
You can't cycle through the canon that quickly. You have to have something to put on every year. So we do 3, 4, 5 Shakespeare's a year out of a total of 12 or 14 plays.
Mm-hmm.
And this year's an interesting case in point. There are opportunities to see Shakespeare in a variety of presentation styles. You have Anthony Cimolino, who's our artistic director, has directed King Lear with Colm Feore, one of the great classical actors of our of our era. And it is set in Shakespeare's time, which is not when Lear itself is set, but he has set it in Shakespeare's time. And it's a, an absolutely, Lear's my play. I've seen it everywhere, every time I possibly can. And I really think this is my favorite.
Oh, really? My first experience.
Job as Antony.
My first experience with King Lear was at the Stratford Shakespeare Festival in 1978 or 79 with Peter Ustinov.
Peter Ustinov,
yeah.
You saw that one, yeah.
Yeah, so I go back.
And Hutt as the Fool.
Yeah, it was, he was amazing. Still, to this day, I can remember that performance. And I remember Maggie Smith and Brian Bedford in Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, that was a beautiful
same
show.
Season. That was amazing.
Best, Some kind of good actors there. We get.
Yeah.
I have a question.
We do get our fair share, I must say.
Well, Colm Feore, I've loved watching him as he's gotten older, you know, doing these roles. And just becoming, I mean, he's just become increasingly a better performer, and he was great when he first started.
Yes, I remember.
Okay, I have a question. You're doing two kinds of Midsummer Night's Dream?
We are indeed.
Okay, now can you please explain what is the difference between the regular stage production and the chamber? Is that like a reading or what?
No, it's not like a reading.
Okay.
We don't even know what it's going to be like.
It opens in July.
It's the 450th anniversary of the birth of William Shakespeare,
right.
And that's why we're doing five Shakespeares in a variety of styles. So I was, you know, I said we have King Lear, we have Original Practices directed by Tim Carroll, who's up for eight Tony Awards for his productions of Richard III and Twelfth Night on Broadway at the moment. We have, and so he's done an Original Practice of King John. And then we have Antony and Cleopatra opening in August. We have A Midsummer Night's Dream on the main stage, which is a not very typical production in itself. And then we have the what we're calling the Chamber Dream, a small version by American director Peter Sellers.
Oh, wow.
Who is a very, you know, as you know, an experimental director in Shakespeare, and he does a lot of opera as well.
Yeah.
And he is using four actors to explore the themes of the play. First rehearsal is tomorrow.
Oh,
if we were talking after noon tomorrow, I'd be able to tell you more because I've heard him talk about it.
Okay. Because it sounds really
But it will be, I'm sure, very interesting. He wanted to take it outside of a theatrical venue, so it's actually going to be staged in the Masonic Hall in Stratford downtown. People will sit in, I don't know what configuration, in just in the hall itself, maybe about 150 people per show. And he has hired Abigail DeVille, who is a New York installation artist, not a theatrical designer, to design the set. She's never worked in theater before.
Oh, wow.
So it is one grand experiment, and we're all looking forward to what will unfold there. I think it's really spectacular to have something about which we know so little about to happen in the hands of such a capable director.
Are you sold out for it yet? It's the kind of thing that I would think of itself.
But we already expanded. We already extended the show. So
yeah, it's the kind
because
of thing.
Because of demand.
Yeah, like theater people especially probably would just be like in awe of.
Yes, it's there has been enormous demand, and with only 150 per performance and it opening towards the end of July, you do have to get your tickets for it while you can.
Okay, can you explain to me why you guys do such a staggered opening and closing kind of thing? Because we're going through the schedule and trying to pin down the shows that I personally would like to see and see if they overlap at all, and some of them do and some of them don't. So how do
we're one of the very few true repertory theaters left in this part of the world, and we do 12 shows in repertory, which means that the same company of actors performs all of the shows. Everybody is doing at least two shows, many are doing three, in addition to doing the roles in the parts that they have in the productions they have. Most of them are also understudying. Everyone is extremely busy. And when you're putting on 12 shows in repertory, you need to stagger because you need to prepare the shows.
Okay.
And every show needs to have enough time to get ready, of course, in rehearsal time. So people are rehearsing two shows at a time, so they'll do 3 days on each, for example, in a given week. But some people will only be working on one show at a time because they'll be in what we call the later openers. And we have to have later openers because in addition to the actor's preparation time, there's all of the backstage preparation time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The sets have to be built and painted. The costumes have to be built. And all of that has to happen
Warehouse is absolutely amazing. You could spend days just going through there. It's
absolutely
like awesome.
The costumes and the props. It's
and the wigs. Oh, whoa! I love
what I think a lot of people don't realize is that we are very slimly funded by the by our governments here in Canada. We get about $3 million a year out of our $60 million budget comes from governments. So. And out of that money, we build all of those costumes, and those costumes then go into our warehouse and, in a way, subsidize other theaters throughout North America because we rent them to other theaters, major theaters.
Major theaters. We couldn't afford them. but that's
yeah,
great,
so
though.
They get an opportunity to get these wonderful costumes without having to build them themselves.
Right.
And so that does help cut their costs. And, of course... non-commercial theaters do get a discount on their rentals, and film and TV also rent from us.
What exactly is your season from what to what?
Our very first preview. So the show's preview for as little as sort of 10 days before the opening, which is in the States called the press opening, and as long as several weeks. So our first preview is in the middle of April, of April, and we close the middle of October. Oftentimes we extend so we don't end up closing until the beginning of November.
Right. Wow.
Do you find that by staggering, even though it's really required because of the nature of the festival itself, but do you find by staggering those openings that you also get people to come back more frequently during the summer and during that time?
Many of our people are return guests. So indeed they do come back. And then there are those who come only in August because they know they can see everything at that time. And they plan that every year and have it stuck in their schedule. So, yes, whenever someone new starts at the festival working in the admin department, they don't understand how committed our patrons are to their plans. They always think, oh, well, they'll come at a different time. No, they won't. They come the third week of August.
Really?
Or they come the first week of July. And they are so dedicated to us. We are so lucky that it really is part of their life. It's like a wedding anniversary that week that they come to Stratford.
Well, and I find Stratford, for me, I've been there a number of different times of the season, and I still find September... early October, my favorite. I don't know why. I just love walking along the river and looking at the trees. And I just think it's beautiful up there at that time of year.
It is a beautiful time.
It's a beautiful little town, though, anyway. I mean, it's just it's really a nice setup town.
Yeah,
we're lucky. The summer usually lingers well into September and October. Right, but you get the beautiful colors of the trees as well.
You've got a number of Broadway musicals like Crazy for You and Man of La Mancha and what else? I'm looking at your
list. That's it for musicals this year, and then Mother Courage, of course, has music in it.
Right,
definitely not a musical. Alice Through the Looking Glass is a play.
Yeah, Alice Through the Looking Glass and Hay Fever is a play.
That's
Little
Coward.
Yeah, and so have you got a hit yet? I mean, is there one that is more that is really getting a lot of attention this year so far?
Last week. You're lucky. And my lips are even moving this morning because we just opened 7 shows in 6 days.
Yes.
Had yesterday off, and I could. I tell you, I did not want to pull myself out of bed this morning.
Oh, thank you very much.
It wasn't just for you. I have to be working anyway. But you were a good incentive. Put it that way.
All right.
But we do have, I think, a number of hits on our hands. King Lear, as I've already mentioned, got absolutely rave reviews. It's a sensational production. And Crazy for You.
I love that show.
Yeah. This is, again, four star reviews across the board. It was, and what a thrilling opening night that was. Applause actually stopped the show a couple of times.
Wow. I can't believe it.
The dancing is spectacular. Donna Fiore, who's been with the festival for many years and is an incredibly fine director choreographer, is in charge of the show, and she demands so much from her dancers and gets so much from them. And at one point in Slap That Bass, they're all at the finale, at the final moment, the men are holding the women up in the air far above their heads, and the women are these all, practically reverse splits. Their legs are so high up, they look like giant V's.
Oh my God.
And they're held there, and the audience would not stop applauding. And you
could,
had to keep holding.
Like, somebody on stage, please yell 1, 2, 3. Yes, get us down.
Was it applause or sadism? Is what you're they're all standing there thinking. Yeah.
But it was a wonderful show. And you know what's a thrill? And I'm sure it's not just at openings, but the roar of applause at the end of these opening shows is just, for me, it's so moving. It always brings tears to my eyes. The performers work so hard. The crew work so hard. It's such an amazing payback to hear that thunderous applause at the end of a show. Mm. And we had an amazing week that way. One hit after another, really. I think this is going to be one of the strongest seasons ever. Alistair, The Looking Glass, a beautiful children's show written by a local playwright, but he's one of Canada's finest, died again about 5 or 6 years ago. James Rainey wrote the adaptation from the Lewis Carroll classic. And I really think this production captures his creative imagination unlike any other show I've ever seen. I was lucky enough to work with him, and he's kooky and crazy, and his imagination runs wild. And that is exactly what this Alice is. It's him incarnate. King John in Shakespearean Original Practices, you see that name King John, and it was the third to open. So I woke up that day and I thought, oh, Wednesday, we've only opened 2 shows, 5 more to go. How am I going to make it through? And it's King John tonight.
Right.
I'm so tired. I sat down in that theater, and it was funny and clear and moving, and I thought, how did I ever not want to come to see this?
Right.
It was just sensational.
Now, your function during this opening week is to talk to people like us, is that right?
Absolutely, and sit in the plays and watch what they're doing and entertain.
Oh,
and,
gee,
yeah.
I really feel badly for you. You have my deep sympathy. Oh, boy.
It's, as you said off the top, it's one of the best jobs in the world.
There you go. All right. Well, we wish you a great deal of luck with this season. I'm sure you don't really need it. The Stratford Festival is kind of one of the gems of Canada, and is one of the theater gems in North America, for that matter. And we really know that you'll be good. We recommend to everyone who listens to this to get your passport, which you need now if you're in the U.S. to get across that border.
Or you can get a card.
You can get a card. You can get passport card or whatever.
And I don't think people realize it's not that far of a drive.
No, for the Midwest, just cross that big bridge in Sarnia and you're almost there, right?
It's well worth it. And you save money. Yeah. Don't travel in the U.S., come travel in Canada. Everything will be a little bit cheaper
for you. That's right. The exchange rate is favorable right now. So that's
perfect. Well, maybe you'll
see
us this summer, Ann. I hope so.
I hope
so. By the way, is that hotel still there?
Which hotel?
The hotel that started the whole thing?
Oh no!
Okay,
it's not. There's an old millstone sculpture there, but I always pretend that the Patso restaurant is the original hotel because it's right beside where the hotel was.
We'll never tell.
We won't tell. We'll keep our cover.
Yeah, okay. God knows what that original hotel was even built of.
Right. Well, we've been talking. We've been talking to Ann Swerdfeger, who is the publicity director for the Stratford Festival in Canada. Y'all get up there and watch some great theater summer at Stratford. Thanks for joining us, Ann.
You're welcome. And I'll say, watch a few of our clips online if you want to. Go to our website, StratfordFestival.ca, and you can get a tiny taste of what's on offer.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true. StratfordFestival.ca. So,
that's it.
All right. Thanks very much.
Have a good rest of the week.
Yes. Thank you. Great to talk to you.
Get some sleep.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that's pretty much wraps up this episode. Be sure to stop by our website to check out our store online, theatergeeks.com/store, where we've got all kinds of good stuff, including John's favorite.
John's favorite is underwear.
Oh my gosh,
she actually said the word.
I said the word.
I didn't even say it.
Underwear. There you go.
And I like coffee mugs, clocks, and teddy bears.
And teddy bears. And we really do mean it. Get up to the Stratford Festival. Yeah. Also, you can pick us up on iTunes.
On your way up there.
On iTunes. You can actually pick us up on the way. Yes, yeah, right. Pick us up.
Just
that's
drive
right.
on through.
Take us. If you're driving up there, put us in.
Yeah.
I'll ride in your trunk. you can get us on iTunes. You can get us on Apple TV. You can get us on, on your favorite podcast app.
Blueberry Network.
The Blueberry Network. It's Blueberry with no E's. And we are also on TuneIn Radio and Stitcher On Demand Radio and a whole lot of other places where quality podcasts. And we are one of the top 20 on the internet in the theater realm.
Absolutely.
Wherever great podcasts are sold, so you can find us everywhere.
And they're not sold, they're for free.
Ours is for free anyway, that's true. All right, thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. I wish I was in Stratford. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.